You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller. And today, as we continue talking about our Missions Emphasis Month, we're going to be talking with a unique missionary who's served with New Tribes Missions. He's also a missionary now here in New England. He's served in Venezuela. He's served in New England. We'll have to find out which is harder as we talk with him. We are joined today by Walter Mudie. Walter, thank you so much for being a part of our program.
Hey, thank you, Adam.
Why don't you get us started by telling us a little bit about yourself and your background, because serving in Venezuela is a very unique calling. What led you to that eventually?
Well, I grew up here in Massachusetts, and I was looking for the American dream, went into different career choices, worked for a company called Digital Equipment Corporation as a field service engineer. And we had the little white house with the picket fence here in Berlin, Massachusetts, with the two cats in the yard, and we had the American dream. And my wife one day said to me, "Is this it?" And she looked at me with this serious face. "Have we made it? Do we have the American dream?" It was at that time that the Lord really burned my heart, after hearing a missionary speaker, that perhaps there was more to life than the American dream. So we looked into different ministries, and one was called New Tribes Mission. We heard a New Tribes Mission missionary speaker at a church in Framingham, Massachusetts, and he spoke on tribal evangelism, reaching the unreached with the gospel, going where no man has gone before. And as soon as I heard him speak, I just knew God was calling me to something that drastic or different. I prayed, talked to my wife quite extensively. She was not really on board at first. She was nervous. We had two little babies. Could we really pull up our roots here in New England, sell our house, sell all our things, and go off with this mission organization, the Amazon Jungle, to work with a very primitive group of Indians. So that's really how it all started. And we were privileged to go to New Tribes Bible Institute in Jackson, Michigan, where we received the biblical background training. And then we went off into the mission training, which is quite extensive. New Tribes Mission has a very, very long, extensive training program because the type of work that we do, reaching the unreached, living in the Amazon jungle, so living in the remote jungles of our world.
Yeah, and you served for 20 years there in the jungles in Venezuela. What was this sort of ministry that you did to kind of break into a community that probably didn't have, I'm assuming, didn't have much much information about the outside world? They were probably a very cut-off, closed-off community.
The first thing we learned about overseas missions is that you need to be fluid. You need to be able to fit in to any ministry that is needed. And Jane and I immediately were ushered into the language learning program there in Ciudad Bolivar in Venezuela, learning the Spanish language first, the language of the country, and then eventually being moved into a tribal location. We had the privilege of working with the Maikiritare Indians in an area called Parupa, which is in south central Venezuela, a very remote, very primitive group of people. Again, once we arrived in the tribe, we realized that every bit of training or every bit of schooling that you've ever had in your life, what you are going to use. These people are very primitive. We had to learn the language. We had to learn the culture of these people, because you can't properly preach the gospel unless you know their language and culture. And that's a long, long process. But fortunately, our coworkers, the Cochran family, they were already up to language speed. So they were doing the teaching and translation of God's word into the Maikiritare language. We fit into the support role of, setting up solar panels, providing clean water. I did all the medical work and all the dental work, which was quite extensive. everything from sewing up wounds to treating malaria. That was probably our biggest challenge, was how to depend on God daily for all these different ministries among the Makitari, because there's a lot to do when you're working with the primitive people.
And this is the New Tribes missions is all over the world. Can you give us a little bit of an insight as to their kind of global outreach in the different places that they are serving?
New Tribes mission is the if I have these figures correct, the second largest faith mission in the world, next to Wycliffe Bible Translators. And New Tribes mission has the same vision, and that is to translate the Word of God into the language of the Indians or of the nationals of the unreached people groups. The Word of God needs to go out into all the different areas, ethnic groups of the world. So New Tribes' vision is to reach the unreached, where, what is it, Paul said that in the scriptures, I have it here somewhere. He said in Romans 15:1, "Yea, so I strive to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation." And really that is the heart of New Tribes' mission in Venezuela, but in many different countries. Like I said, it's the second largest mission organization, faith mission organization in the world.
And how many unreached people groups are there in the world? I mean, it's so hard for us to kind of wrap our mind around that, but I know that there are many there in the Amazon where you served, and also in the tribes in New Guinea and around the world. Can you tell us a little bit about how many people groups that we have yet to even reach or are still really considered to be unreached people groups?
I'm sorry, Adam, I don't have that exact figure, but it's someplace in the range of 4,000 languages that still need God's Word translated into their language. In Venezuela alone, there was 38 different ethnic groups, 38 different languages in Venezuela alone. All but one have some Word of God in their language. There is one group left, the Chiricano Indians, that have no Word of God in their language yet. But missionaries from Venezuela who are Venezuelan-born, I recently heard, are planning to go into work with the Chiricano and to get God's Word into their own language.
And you served there for 20 years, but then you had to leave suddenly. Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about some of the circumstances that led to your having to come back to the United States, back to New England, and really some of the needs that are still there for people to get the gospel?
Yeah, we were in 2005. President Hugo Chavez, the then president of Venezuela, put up a petition on national TV saying that the missionaries with New Tribes Mission, or Misión Nuevas Tribus, were being asked to leave the country at first, is what he said, and then he asked us to leave the tribal areas, saying that we were spies for the imperialist North, with the CIA, and he, which makes total sense in the eyes of people, that what would possess an American family or a Canadian family or a British family to give up all that they have in the United States and work among the unreached people groups, or the heathens, as they would call them, in the Amazon jungle. Obviously, you have an ulterior motive. You couldn't possibly do it for any reason except for spying or looking for gold or looking for uranium or whatever. So it makes sense in the eyes of the world. But in our eyes, we knew that this was one more attack from Satan to get us out of the tribal areas, because the scriptures clearly teach us that we are to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. But Jesus says, you know, He came and he spoke unto them, saying, "All power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." So we have this command from God to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. Satan knows that. It wasn't Hugo Chavez that kicked us out of Venezuela. It was the powers, evil powers of the devil, that knowing that his time is near because the gospel is going out to the ends of the earth. And the Chiricano was the final group of Indians that we're trying to reach in Venezuela.
And since coming back here to the United States, you've started your own ministry here in New England. I have to ask, was it harder here in Venezuela or was it harder here in New England?
That's a great question, Adam. You know, I tell people today that I really believe God used the difficult times of Venezuela, working with those primitive people, a very independent people, a very proud people, a very self-sufficient people, that God used them to train me to work here in New England. Because, you know, I'm a New Englander. I was born and raised here, and we're a fiercely independent people. And it's a tough group of people to evangelize and to share your faith with. And those of you who like evangelism and like sharing their faith with New Englanders, you understand what I'm saying.
And you talked about the multiple different ethnicity groups that you had to deal with in Venezuela. There's a lot of ethnicity groups here in New England as well, and they're very diverse. I knew that as being an outsider and coming to New England, you have to spend a lot of time here. You have to be really grounded in this community. I live on Cape Cod. I will forever be called a wash ashore because I'm not originally from Cape Cod. You have to be here for a long time to build those inroads. That's very similar to working with a New Tribes Missions in an unreached people group, correct?
That's correct. It's funny, my wife and I were sitting in the parking lot with a missionary couple, the Cochran family, they came to visit. And one thing Matt said when he was watching people walk out of a Walmart here in Hudson, Massachusetts, he said, "Wow." He said, I haven't seen any Americans walk out in the last 5 minutes. And what he meant by that was it was obviously that we live in a very diverse group of people here in New England. It's a transient group. It's a very intellectual group. And yes, I believe God is preparing missionaries to work here in New England. I talk to pastors and missionaries all the time who are coming to New England. They feel that God is calling them to this part of the country. And I don't know why. I know God is doing something here. I don't know if it's one last great effort that he's doing before he returns, or that he's giving New England another chance to be a light in this country. I don't know why. But what I do know is God is doing something, because I'm seeing the hearts of lives change. I'm seeing people come to Christ, and even among this very, very rocky soil.
And you're also teaching evangelism. That's one of the ministries that you have, is teaching other people to share their faith. This is an area of the world where 49 of the 100 least reached counties in the United States are here in New England, and they're all under 3%, many of them under 2%, and that's considered an unreached people group. So you went from an unreached people group in Venezuela to an unreached people group here in New England. Do you see that there is a great need for more people to come for nationals, as your ministry was there to train nationals? Is there a similar feel here that you have to train people to do the work because it is vast? It's a very very vast ministry here in New England.
Yes, Adam. What I started doing is teaching a class on evangelism and discipleship. And what does that look like in 2016 in the United States in New England? As I prayed about it and saw God's face on it, I said, okay, Lord, what does evangelism and discipleship look like in 2016 here in New England? And the Lord put it on my heart. This is what I feel that he put on my heart, and that was, evangelism and discipleship is the same. It has not changed. You need to build relationships with people. You need to get close with people, just like Jesus did. He laughed with them. He cried with them. He ate with them. He slept with his disciples. He spent hours and hours with his disciples. He spent 3 years of time. And that's what I'm finding here in New England. You have to win folks over by showing that you truly, truly care. There are very suspect people in this part of the country, and they they watch you for a while before they'll accept what you have to say. And so, yes, I do teach a class basically just on examples, ways that we can share our faith with those around us, ways that we can not turn people off with our presence and with the good news that we have to offer to these people. I teach in prisons, the local prisons in my area, and with all different types of ministries, wherever the Lord leads me is where I go.
And certainly a much-needed area as we think about, too, what seem vastly different ministries reaching out to the tribal people in Venezuela in the Amazon jungle versus reaching people here in New England. But we are so thankful that you are here and doing the work as we try to penetrate the very rocky soil with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have been talking with a missionary, Walter Mudy, as he has served with New Tribes Missions, but also now as he's serving here in New England. If you want to find out more information, we'll have a page up on our website. You can check us out at songtime.com. We'll redirect you to his ministry website, and all of his information will be there. You can also give us a call. It is 508-362-7070. Walter, thank you so much for sharing with us about these two vastly different ministries, but ministries that really can teach us a lot, I think, about the long and the hard work that we have ahead of us to bring the gospel to the people of New England.
Thank you, Adam. Thanks for the opportunity to talk to the folks in this area. And it is my prayer that we all take seriously the call that we've all been given, and that is to share our faith with our neighbors. Thank you, and God bless.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.